We're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to come in your house. Thank you, Father God, that we're all in one accord with eyes that want to see you and hearts that receive you. Thank you, Father God, that our ears are open and we're expecting you this night, Father God, to bring us a good word. And Father God, I yield myself to you. Take all of Deborah out, who she thinks she is or what she's done or what she's going to do, Father, and just fill her up with the Holy Spirit. Let her be used as your vessel, Father God. I yield myself to you, to the Holy Spirit, to bring forth a good word. In Jesus' name, I give all the glory. Amen. Broken prayers, getting real with God. Over the last few Sunday nights, we've been privileged to have Juan speak on prayer and the different types of prayer. Prayers of thanksgiving, prayers that petition for our needs, prayers that are intercessing for others, also binding prayers, which we bind the enemy in Jesus' name, and loosing prayers for our provision and for our protection. So tonight, we're going to talk about broken prayers. And I have a song. It's by Riley Clemens, and we're going to begin with that. And the name of the song is Broken Prayers.
I've been taught how to talk to you. Hold it together, make the bad look better. Say all the words that I'm supposed to. Bow my head, say amen, yeah, that'll do. Making every dead end look like heaven. Like being okay's the way to reach you. But you're not afraid of all the things I feel. So why am I afraid of being real?
I heard that song just a few days before Pastor asked me to speak on prayer. And when I heard the song, it just resonated because we've all been there. We've all been broken. We've all had broken prayers. And you know how I know? Because if you trust in Jesus, if you call yourself a Christian, you had a prayer of repentance. And that is the first step to brokenness. And that's the first step to healing. So in the song it says that I've been taught what to say, all the right words, like being okay is the way to reach you. And how many of us know that, you know, we try to hide the brokenness or the things that are going on in our life, and we try to press them down so deep, and we feel like that God can't hear us. And we think, well, you know, as long as I keep it hidden, then I'll be okay. Well, you know what that's doing? That's putting you in the place of the Savior. And God wants us to trust in Him and to love Him and let Him do what only He can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 6 and 9 says, "The Lord has heard my supplication, and the Lord received my prayer." This is our promise. He hears us, even the words we can't say. They don't have to be perfect words. They don't have to be words in all the right sentences. Matter of fact, God doesn't want to have robots. He wants us to be in relationship with us. And that's the type of prayer that He is seeking from us. And it can only come through the intimacy with Him, through our brokenness, because we can't possibly carry what God wants us to know with all the baggage that we've been through. And we know that God has promised in Hebrews 13:5 that He never leaves or forsakes us. Psalms 145:18-19, it says, "The Lord is close to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear Him, who hears their cries for help, and He rescues them. When I cry out to Him, I cry out to Him in truth." That's what God's Word says. It says to call on Him in truth. What is the truth? The truth is that God knows everything about us. He knows every desire. He knows every plan that went wrong. He knows everything that happened that was unexpected. He knows every thought that we have against someone or a hurt that we gained because someone said something to us. He carries that all. He doesn't expect us to carry it. But He does expect us to recognize it. God knows our story, where it begins and where it ends. His desire is that our separation from Him be restored and that we flourish in the good plan that He has for us. That's called salvation. Salvation came through brokenness when we realized that we were in need of a Savior. Psalms 139:13-16 says, and this is what God says about you, okay? This is you personally. I want you to look at this and really understand that God is inside of you. His Spirit lives inside of you. You are not of your own anymore. You are bought with a price. But in order to get there, there have got to be steps. There have got to be things that you're going to learn. Just as we train up a child in the way they should go, God is also wanting us to come to Him as a little child. And as a little child, trusting Him with every fear, with every broken place that we have. The thing is, we don't know all the broken places, but God does. And He tells us in His Word, Psalms 139:13-16 says, "For you created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Do we really think about that? You know, we have an earthly mother and father. But before we were ever even thought of, God thought of us. And then He began the work. That soon He began the work. "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Listen to what He says about you. He doesn't say you're broken. He doesn't say you're irreparable. He doesn't say, "Don't come to me with your perfectness." He doesn't say, "Come to me with you know, what I want to hear." Come to me with who and what has broken you. Come to me in truth, truth of who I am, because that's what God is going to do. He's going to replace that brokenness with who He is. And He says, you're wonderfully and fearfully made. He also says, I know, well, this is what we say, I know full well. My frame was not hidden from you. I was made in the secret place where I was woven together in the depths of the earth. There's a secret place where you were created. There's a secret place, a hiding place where you were created. In the very bosom of God, of who He is, He thought of you and He created you. And He knew from the beginning to the end what you were going to need. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All of our days were written. That means every disappointment. That means every good thing. That means every plan God knew before. What He wants us to do is to come to Him in truth. Come to Him admitting what we know and what we don't know. Taking on who He is. Because that's the only way, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to gain repair and healing for our brokenness. God knows where we are, and we must be honest. We must petition to Him. You can't hide from Him. Your hurts, He already knows. Repentance comes when we examine ourselves to the truth of who God is. He's our healer and our Savior. You can't be healed of something you don't know about. If you're sick, you have to go to a doctor for wisdom. Now, all of us have had some kind of, you know, affecting our family or ourselves, some kind of let's just say, sickness. And with that sickness, you know, usually things come on. They're unexpectedly. And when they come on, we might get a fever, we might get a runny nose. There's different ailments that come against us, and they don't feel good. And it breaks us, and it puts us down. God says that He is our healer. He picks us up in those places when things get so hot, so bad, so much that we feel like that we can't take it. And He wants us to cry out to Him. And if we don't cry out to Him, we try to carry it. That's why He says, don't carry it. Cast your cares on me, for I care for you. Nobody cares for you like God does, because He knitted you together. He knew you. He knows us. Our prayer is just a recognition, a petition, a talk, a conversation. It is also, prayer is a longing. It is a longing for hope, for something that we can't seem to find on our own. If you missed this morning, Pastor John spoke on the woman at the well and how she was met with different things, with shame. She was, you know, married a lot of times, and then the guy that she was living with was not her husband. And Jesus came into an area where normally you would not be welcome. And you know, there's certain areas that we can think of in our life where we might not be welcome in going in a place, and we know that fear that overtakes us. But Jesus didn't have that fear because He knew He was going to be about the Father's business. So He petitioned the Lord, and the Lord sent Him there because there was someone there that needed to see the brokenness, needed to be healed beyond what she thought she was looking for. So God is there and wants us to petition Him for things that are seen and things that are unseen. It is His love and His care for us, just as Jesus was with the woman at the well, to be there to offer up living water. And it can only come through Christ Jesus, and it can only come through our repentance and our brokenness, because we're separated from Him. And so in that time of need and brokenness is the most tender, precious time with God. Because in that time, we allow Him, if we take His word and we pray, and this is what this is about, our broken prayers. And it doesn't have to be fancy, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but it does have to be in the power of all power, which is in the power of Jesus' name. And when we come to God, He recreates in us that very Holy Spirit that we need to renew and to heal our broken places. Our God desires us. 2 Kings 20 and 5 says, I heard your prayers. I have seen your tears, and I will heal you. That's God's promise. But we have to bring it to Him. Nothing is ever going to come to you unless you bring it. You're not going to get healing that a doctor can give you on your own. There are things that we don't know about ourselves, that sometimes it takes an expert. And God is our expert. Yes. He is our great physician. He already knows because He wrote the book. He knows what I'm going to say 10 seconds from now. He knows what's going to happen when each one of us walk out this door. We can't run from Him. We can't hide from Him. But what He wants us to do is kneel before Him. Recognize who He is. Come to Him with everything He is. And that means His promises. So one, when He's been speaking on prayer and He first speaks of thanksgiving, that's what we have to do. We go to God and we thank Him for the broken places. Now I know when we're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel good. And, you know, my testimony, I've got a long testimony, so we're not going to go into all of that tonight. But because God has truly, truly, if you see me standing here and you see me speaking, or you hear me speaking, it's all glory to God. All glory to God. Anything that I think was to be or not to be, you know, God, in all His grace and mercy, has taken the beginning of my book and He's going to work out the ending for my good. I may not see it that way because in our brokenness, we separate from God, to be honest. We really do. And when I say that, is that first initial natural response is, God, where are you? Why? Why did you allow this? And just like the woman at the well, the shame comes in. The guilt comes in. Just as she would hide herself as she would go to the well, hoping that no one else would know, hoping that she had a covering over her that no one else would know, she hid that in order to go get what she needed. But Jesus came along and rocked her world, literally. He was the rock and the water and everything that she needed, but she didn't know that. And when Jesus went into the well and he asked her for some water, she thought that was kind of strange because He was not of one who should be asking her of anything, because there was a tension between the two of them. And God understands that there's going to be a tension to your natural to come to Him with everything you are. God already knew that. He already knew that there would be an apprehension. And He has the answer for that. And He says, for I love you. I've given you my Son to die in your place. I love you. There's no place you can run or hide that I'm not already there. I love you. There's no need for you to put any resistance to who you are, because with each broken area, He can bring a healing balm. And with each healing balm, it's going to put you back together better than you could ever imagine that you could be. He is there, our help in time of trouble. But if we don't pray, if we don't make time, as Juan has been teaching on, if we do not turn ourselves to be obedient and listen for Him and expect Him to show up, He can't. It's just like if I came in here with presents for all of y'all. If you don't receive it, then what good are the presents? Amen. You have to receive it. And some of us, we'd have to let down our pride. And God knows that. He knows our pride because He knows what has separated us from Him. And that is selfishness. And that is pride. And that is our desire to be bigger than God, greater than God. We've all been in places before we met God that we thought we could do it on our own. That we thought, hey, you know, I can get away with this, or God doesn't care about that part of my life. If He did, He would have straightened it out. We have to give God permission. And it's coming to God. It's that intimacy with Him through prayer. Prayer is just our intimacy. I'm talking with you. This is being carried out over radio waves. If radio waves can get to people and they can hear, how much more with God in us should we be able to hear?
Amen.
But if we don't pay attention and we don't take time to be still and know that He's God, we won't know Him. God allows our free will. Nothing is wasted with Him. But He is a jealous God. Even the habits of doing good can sometimes just be the motions. And God doesn't want our motions. Now we know, some of us that have children and us that have grandchildren, you know that when you're training up a child, they're going to start things, and when they start it, they're going to stumble, they're going to fall, and they're not going to understand the whole reason behind what they're supposed to do. So we take it easy with them one step at a time. But we still have to discipline them, and we still have to show them that this is the way that they should go. And that's what God wants with us. And anything that comes in the way that's going to take away that from His intimacy with us, He's going to be jealous of it. So that means even if we're working super hard to help God along so that we can pay our tithes, it may be good that we're working hard, but if we're not giving to God out of the fact that we're in covenant with Him and He knows what we need and He's going to meet it, it's not our works. He gave us the talent to be able to do that. But if we don't walk through and do what God has asked us to do, but to love on Him and thank Him and know that it is Him that gave us the ability to do it, not us, that our works will just be in vain. And God wants us to be cheerful and happy and know that He is in us, walking in us, through us, and us to allow Him that so that we can be confident and we can heal and we can be vessels that shine a light for Him. God is so, He's overwhelming. He's just truly overwhelming. But we can't know the awesomeness of God if we try to hold our own self up, if we try to be our own hero, and we try to be our own Savior, not only are we going to let ourselves down, we're going to let others down. And when Jesus came to that well, to that woman, her shame, her guilt, her emotions, everything that was going on, her frustration, probably even, like I said, her apprehension. Because this man's coming up to her, and a man's not supposed to approach you. And not a man that is of another origin, you know, of another color maybe. You know, you're not supposed to be there in that meeting place. But Jesus spoke to her in a way that only Jesus can. And that's why Jesus and only Jesus can meet us with the hope that we need for the living water to recover and to be that vessel that He needs us to be, that light that He needs us to be. Only He can give us what we need. Prayer is our shelter. It's our resting place. It's our hold me daddy secure place, individually and uniquely loved. Our prayer is an openness to God. We're casting our cares, all of our worries on Him, our frailties. We must be still and know that He is God. Psalm 46:10. Allowing Him to take the pain that we weren't equipped to carry. That's why God sent us Jesus. That's why Jesus was at the well. This Samaritan woman had more on her than she could carry. And you know, we've all experienced times where we have just been in such grief that our very breath was hard to take. And Jesus comes to us and He says, let me be your breath. Let me breathe for you when you can't breathe. Let me walk for you and be your strength when you can't walk. Don't turn yourself from me, for I know you better than anyone. I am in you and I love you and I have good and great plans for you. And it's okay for you to acknowledge your brokenness. I already saw it, and I knew the very place that you were going to be in, and I've already prepared that way out. That's what He promises. So why does God want our broken prayers? because He wants us to come and know Him so intimately that His truth will override what the world says.
Amen.
So that we can renew our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So that we will know the will of God that is good and that is perfect. The day that the Samaritan woman met Jesus at the well, she found out what was perfect. It didn't make sense to her. She went from being afraid, I'm sure, also wondering what kind of man is this. He must be a prophet because he's telling me things that even maybe she had hidden, you know, deep inside that she did not want to admit up to. And Jesus was calling that forth. But He was calling it forth tenderly. And that's how Jesus, and that's how He receives us, is tenderly when we cry out to Him. It also, she renewed her mind when she allowed Jesus to speak to her, which prayer is a conversation, but it's also an interaction. So there's a time for us to cry out, and there's a time to listen. That's why God said, "Be still and know," because we have to listen for His response, because it's in His response to us that changes are made, that the vessel that was broken is made new, and things can become better than they were before. God has promised that the things of the latter will be better if we put them in His hands. But how can we know the better if we never recognize that something wasn't quite perfect? We have to look at what's not perfect in us, but how do we begin? We begin by coming to Him, petitioning to Him, getting still with Him, and then reading His Word. That's how He answers us. He answers us through Scriptures. Jesus went about doing the will of the Father. He spoke to the Father. He got His to-do list, as Pastor's been talking about. We all have a consecration. We all are on different journeys, but yet we're all on the same. And it's we're all in need of a Savior. And that's why the Lord tells us that we need to repent and we need to bring that to Him daily. So not all only do we thank God and we petition for our needs and we do intercede for other people and we do bind up the enemy and we do loose the glory of God, we also have to recognize and examine ourselves, because it's in that examination of ourselves we can present to God what it is that He needs to do on His to-do list through us. And it yields our will to Him when we allow Him to show us exactly those broken places. Healing doesn't mean that there's no damage. God didn't expect us to like act like nothing has ever happened to us. That's where testimony comes in. That's where testimony comes in. Our brokenness is not for us. It is bringing us closer to the Father, but it's for others. Because we have to share. We have to be about our Father's business. Sharing. Sharing. And you know, that woman at the well, she didn't want to share what she'd been through. She didn't want to share her life. She was ashamed. But when she met Jesus, she was ready to go and to share and to tell of what this man knew and what he had did. Healing doesn't mean that there's no damage, that it never happened, that it never existed. But healing means it no longer controls your life. God promises, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." John 8:36. So we can go to God and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we give it up to Him, He will set us free from that brokenness, because He is the healer. It's not just healing of our physical body, it's healing of everything that has ever broken us, that has ever come against us. He is all of it. It is not until we acknowledge our excuses, our defenses, that we can allow our minds to be renewed. And so God admonishes us, don't take on the customs of the world. You know, we run to Google and we run to, you know, other people, and there's so many places to run. But God says, quit running, because you're running from me, because I know the truth. And don't be afraid when you come to me, because I am here to help you, never to harm you. I have good plans for you. I've seen the ways that you've gone. I've seen the paths that got crooked. But I am the way maker, and I make every way straight. And this too will work out for your good. So God wants us to come to Him in repentance, with our brokenness, with the jagged edges, with the jealousy, with the envy, with the bitterness, with the unforgiveness, all of it, all the mess. Because it is giving that mess to Him that renews us and gives us living water, water for eternity. And I heard something today, and someone said, these material things don't matter. And you know, when you bring in the things that have disappointed you, the things that have been done to you, or maybe you've done to someone else, those things of life that are broken, when we were born into it. But God, He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish. That means perish in your brokenness. That doesn't just mean perish to death. That means now on earth.
Yes.
Now on earth. What is in heaven, we can call to earth. So that means that we can have healing here on earth. We don't have to wait until we perish, because God has got all of that for us now. We just have to recognize it, and we have to bring it to Him. And we don't have to be afraid. He says, do not be afraid. Call on my name, for I love you. But we need to remember that God already knows inside what we're thinking. He already knows inside. He has read our mail. So as Christians, we need to open ourselves up to God and let Him show us what's really going on, what's really bothering us. Because we nick and we pick and we pick and we nick, and we seem to go round that crazy old mountain over and over again. Even in our prayers, it's emotion. God save me. God heal me. God bless me. And He does. He does all of that. But you know what He wants us to know? He wants us to come, God, thank you. God, this is where I missed it. He wants us to come and look in the mirror and see Jesus' face, and let's be transformed. And then we can be transformed in our mind by reading His Word. But it is in that intimacy with Him, allowing Him to hold us. It's a place we can trust. It's a place that we expect Him to show up. And with God, all things are possible. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would admonish you too, if you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, to please cry out to your Abba Father, because that's a gift that He wants to give to you. Because when we get in our brokenness, it can be such a dark place that we don't have the words, that we don't want to read the words, that we don't want to admit that we need Him because we're so broken. But God already saw it. He already knew it. And all He needs us to do is to cry out, Abba, Father. And He will be there. If you receive it and you expect it, He will be there. Because He works all things out for our good.
Yes.
All things out for our good. Ish, there was a little picture. The other night we had a women's meeting. And during our women's meeting, in this little side journey, but during our women's meeting, I had been, just really conscious and unconscious about what God was going to work through me tonight. And I just was, I've been expecting God, I want to see you, I want to see you, I want to see you. I want to see everything, that you have for me. Remind me, God. And, God wants us to remind Him. He tells us to remind Him. So we've got to know what it is we need, and we've got to petition it. But we've got to remind him. But then we've got to expect him to believe. This is a picture of what I got during the our Christmas in July. The first thing that I pulled out of my bag was, "With God, all things are possible." And then I got some ink pens. Then I got a little candle and a fan, and ended up with some nesting snowman ornaments. As I was pulling it out, I said, "Yes, God, with you all things are possible." And God said, "Yes, my dear, I want you to jot down all of your regrets and your disappointments, but I want you to replace that with all the promises that I have for you. Because you, my dear, are a fragrance, a blessed fragrance to my nostrils. And I want your light to shine. So I will fan out every fiery dart of the enemy so that you can stay calm, cool, and at peace. So stay in my love, stay nestled in the shelter of who I am, and understand that nobody is perfect but Jesus." Thank you.